When I'm the youngest of six children, and I grew up attending the Roman Catholic Church. And when I was about 5 years old, we went to a service on the day of Pentecost that included baptism. And after the sealing the child with the sign of the Holy Spirit and welcoming the newly baptized to the household of God, very similar to the way we do things here, our Roman Catholic priest went over and picked up an aspergillum. Do you know what an aspergillum is? It's a holy water sprinkler. And it looks like a microphone. It's got a ball on the end of it. And the priest walked around and he was sprinkling us with holy water and uttering some Latin phrase as he went along. And after the service, I said, "Mom, what in the world was the priest saying?" And she said, "Can't help him, might can't hurt him, might help him. Can't hurt him, might help him. Can't hurt him, might help him. Can't hurt him, might help him." So this is a playful way of inviting us to enter into this really, really difficult text from the book of the prophet Isaiah. If you had your thinking caps on, if you were hearing the words of the prophet saying to the leaders of the temple in Jerusalem, to the kings of Judea, what would be the equivalent of "Your holy Eucharist rite too smells like. Your choir doesn't sing very well. I don't want your incense. Your holy Eucharist doesn't make any sense. Neither does your worship. And what you're doing is obscene." Really, really, really difficult stuff. It lightens up a little bit, maybe, if we consider the context. 8th century BCE to 4th century BCE, a time when the temple leaders in Jerusalem were responsible for governing the people of Israel, for welcoming the stranger in the land, which they were not doing. So essentially what Isaiah is saying to the leaders who were both religious leaders and political leaders at the same time: worship disconnected with justice is obscene. And obviously, that's not, for the most part, our current context today. We have the separation of church and state, and the church isn't responsible for governing the nation. And yet, it is a difficult time to say, "I'm good." Isn't it? Yesterday, I was at a regatta in Reston, Virginia, at Lake Ann. A cardboard boat regatta. Kids from the local schools made cardboard boats. Community leaders made cardboard boats. And then they had a race, and there was a great MC. A couple of them sank and flipped over, and people were laughing. And the whole community of Reston was there, and it was so joyous. And I couldn't help but think so many times, what if we start to hear the noise? Bang, 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 bang! It's a tough time to be a citizen of the United States of America, is it not? So as most of you know, on Tuesday morning I accepted an invitation from the bishop and met with about 24 faith leaders at the Russell Senate office building, put my things through the metal detector, walked right in, and then gathered with Bishop Buddy and Rob Shank and Rabbi Jack Moline, and we lined up about 12 of us on either side of the hallway outside Mitch McConnell's office, and we prayed, and we read the names of the victims, and people witnessed and testified about their ministries, and about their work, and about the fact that they had been in that office 2 months ago saying, "If we don't do something, this is going to happen again." And then Rob Shank laid that black stole at the threshold to Mitch McConnell's office, And it got some press. It was mentioned on NPR. The religious news service covered it. And lo and behold, a couple days later, Mitch McConnell said, first and foremost, when we get back, we're going to do background checks. We're going to make sure that happens. Admittedly, was it our prayers that had anything to do with that? One would think that it was the tragedy that enabled him to take that step. But the last tragedy didn't, and the one before that 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 didn't. But something did. And we made a prophetic witness by being there together. It was incredibly, incredibly powerful. And the word that I've gotten from people, predominantly after making that witness as members of the clergy, as members of the church, was, thank you for being there, man. Thank you for doing that. I couldn't join you, but I would have if I was available. All of this in the context of these three readings from Isaiah, from the Gospel according to Luke, and this another difficult text that tells us, among many things theologically and historically, it's getting urgent. Isn't it? It's urgent, our response. It's urgent, our witness. Because the Master is here and he's knocking on the door. Open your service leaflet with me for a second. And look at the psalm. I'm going to give you some good news if I can here, okay? Go to the right side of the psalm. God reveals himself in glory. Let the heavens declare the rightness of his cause, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God. And read the rest of it with me. I do not accuse you because of your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. Consider this well, you who forget God, lest I rend you and there be none to deliver you. Whoever offers me the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, but to those who keep in my way will I show the salvation of God. I'm going to read that one again. Whoever offers me the sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is what we do every Sunday in and out, honors me. Our worship and our prayers are efficacious, ladies and gentlemen, number one. And number two, they're honored by God. So make no mistake about what it is that we're doing here when we say our prayers. We're honoring the Creator of the universe and the one that calls us to action. Whoever offers me the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, but to those who keep in my way, I will show the salvation of God. So we got to worship, but we got to keep in that way, don't we? It's time to be bold. It's time to be prophetic as the church. And it's time for all of us to witness to this great God and search and strive and seek justice because we need it. We've got 20-year-old people who hate themselves so much they're killing one another. It's a tragic time and there's lots to do. And I'm wondering what St. Albans is called to do and how we are called to a more prophetic witness, a more prophetic song to sing to a world that needs the church to stand up for justice and peace now like never before. Amen.